Hello there. Welcome to Knowing the Economy of God. I'm Tom Meglia. Reba Tony is off for vacation this week. But welcome to our program, Knowing the Economy of God. Heard every Saturday here on KKLA from 3:30 to 4 o'clock, 99.5 FM. How are you doing? Hope you're having a great day. Wow, holidays are over. And yes, that's cool. Enough football, enough holidays. Anyway, welcome to Knowing the Economy of God, the toll-free 800 number. To reach me, financial planner, financial consultant Tom Meglia, 800-386-3700. I've been doing this consulting, financial planning, financial coaching, estate planning, business consulting, personalized financial planning for 28 years. 28 years. Wow. The website where you can find out more about our new book, Knowing the Economy of God, the website is www.theeconomyofgod.com. www.theeconomyofgod.com. And you can learn more about the upcoming Women's Only Financial Conference. A Woman of Value, Women of Worth. February 3rd at Pasadena Lake Avenue Church from 9 to 3. It's $65 per person, so go online to the website, theeconomyofgod.com, and sign up for the Women's Only Conference and learn more information about it. Now, we're on the program Contentment, which is anchor 4 from our book. There's 4 anchors in God's economy. 1, God is the owner, the one and true only owner. 2, we're the steward. 3, anchor, we're to be cheerful and liberal givers, generous givers of everything we have, which is God's. And 4, we're to learn contentment and become content. And today, we're on a 12-part series on anchor 4, contentment. Today is program 5 of the 12-part series on contentment. If you have not heard the first 4 programs on contentment, go to the website and you can listen to them there through your computer. Now, we start every program with Scripture. And first of all, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, training, correcting, and rebuking in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. That is awesome. I just love those scriptures because it reminds us that God's economy isn't about Tom Meglia or any financial advisor. It's about what God says, about God himself, about what God thinks. The gold mine of understanding God's reasoning and God's principles. That's what God's economy is, and that's why I wrote about it. It's not about me. This book isn't about me. It's about God, about what he says. And you'll find all those scriptures, thousands of them, in the Bible. In fact, finances are talked more about in the Bible than any other topic. There's over 2,200 scriptures on money and finances in the Bible. Now, we're on 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 10. Okay, that's another piece of scripture that we've been talking about in the area of contentment. 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 10. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we have brought nothing into the world and can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 10. That is a very powerful, powerful piece of scripture. And we must learn it and must know it in order to become content. When we become Christians, we just don't become content. It's a learned response. It's a learned thing. It's a learned concept. So when we talk about God's economy, people say, Tom, how do you learn God's economy? Well, first, you cite the scripture. Second, you state the economic principle. Third, you discuss the application to normal and everyday living. How do you apply this to normal life? And fourth, you discuss the prayer of change. By discussing it, you then pray and say, Lord, help us. Without God, we can't do this. So we must ask God to help us. Now, let me tell you another scripture for today, okay? Because we're talking about God's economic principle in contentment. We're talking specifically today about what Christian contentment feels like. What does it feel like to be content? Okay? You know, when you get on that freeway and you're just flying around, or the highway, the causeway, and you're driving fast and you're cutting lanes or someone's cutting you off, that doesn't feel very content. But contentment feels like this. It feels like a quiet and peaceful heart, feeling quietly and inwardly gracious. It's a gracious frame of spirit, which gives in and surrenders freely to God and delights in God's wise and fatherly direction in any condition and in all circumstances. That's what contentment feels like, folks. It's a quiet and peaceful heart, a good and quiet, comforting feeling and gracious frame of spirit, which gives in and surrenders freely to God. And it delights in God's wise and fatherly direction in any and all conditions, not responding with anger, meanness, hate, grumbling, murmuring, or any of that kind of stuff towards God. An inward sweetness of heart. This is what contentment feels like and how you can recognize it. You might be thinking, Tom, I can't recognize it. How do I know it's in my heart? Well, it's an inward sweetness, peace in your heart. That's what it feels like, and that's how you'll recognize it. Psalm 62:1 says, truly my soul waits upon God. The mouth and soul must be quiet and listen to God in order to learn what he wants us to learn by what is occurring in the circumstances we are now facing. And yes, it's painful. Yes, it's trouble. Yes, it's terrible, the circumstances that are perhaps causing us to become content. It's not fun, no. When trouble comes, the heart is doing business with God Almighty. When trouble comes, our hearts are doing business with God through Jesus Christ. We need to realize this. That's how we're going to grow and learn from the lesson. It's very important. That's how we're going to learn the lesson. Because when we become content, it came out of some rough circumstances. Otherwise, we wouldn't have to be content. We would just say, I'm happy, everything's going great, I'm healthy, well off, doing great. Well, what happens when things happen? Divorce, job loss, or we didn't get a specific job promotion or job we were counting on, or get into a certain class in college we were applying for, or certain major or discipline, or get turned down for a role in a studio we were trying to become an actor or actress in a certain part of a movie. There's a lot of things that send us down that road that we need to learn by becoming works in progress, which is what I am and you too, to help us get to the point of being content. And today's program, program 5 of the 12-part series, it's learning what contentment feels like and what contentment doesn't feel like. And we can see in the Bible, okay, when Moses took the people out of Egypt, and they went around for 40 years in the desert, grumbling, murmuring against God, complaining, getting mad at God. All of that was discontent heart, a discontent heart and spirit. That God did not delight in. God was trying to teach them things, teach them about his character. And he let them do more laps in the desert, just like when I was in junior high. Meglia, Meglia, more laps. You're not getting it, the PE coach would say. And I was like, what? Coach, I'm not running another lap. He's all, yep, you're not doing your push-ups properly. You're not doing your calisthenics properly. Run another lap. And I would run the lap and grumble and everything. Well, we keep running laps in life because we're not learning our lessons. God loves us. He doesn't enjoy watching us run laps and walking around the desert. That doesn't delight him. He's not some angry, mean God up there saying, I think I'll enjoy watching you mess up today and then feel the pain. But he wants us to learn and to grow and be works in progress, to learn contentment. We're coming up to a break. After the break, we'll talk about application. Okay? So, blessings to you. Happy New Year. And we'll talk more about the application to our normal and everyday life, about this specific topic of contentment and what it feels like to be content and what it feels like to be discontent. I think that's a very important thing. So hang on.
Tom will be right back with more insights into knowing the economy of God.
Hi, ladies. Reba Tony here. I hope you're enjoying our show today. I want to share with you a great seminar that your host, financial advisor, and money coach, Tom Maglia, will be presenting to women only. And of course, I will be there. I'll be emceeing. The event is called Women of Value, A Woman of Worth, Desiring Excellence in 2007. This is Ladies Only Conference held Saturday, February 3rd, 2007 at Lake Avenue Church in Pasadena. And the cost, only $65 for the entire day. Tom will present The Economy of God, four anchor principles for life, as well as coach you on how to create a budget and spending plan. The day will include a special luncheon, fashion show, free raffle drawing prizes, and a wonderful gift package for all who attend. And ladies, there's so much more. Women's life coach Michelle Detman will be sharing a godly seminar, Christian women's life coaching tips for ladies of all ages and all marital statuses. Also, Karen Long, a former Emmy-nominated TV reporter, will be speaking on investing in relationships and thoughts about extreme marriage makeover. She's got a new book. It's out. It's called If You Don't Die to Self, I May Have to Kill You. How funny is that? Come listen to Karen give a refreshing view on God and marriage. Call Tom at 800-386-3700 for more information, or go to the website and sign up now at www.theeconomyofgod.com. Meet me, Reba Tony, at the seminar. I'll be hosting the entire day along with special worship music that will warm all of our hearts for the Lord. Again, the number is 1-800-386-3700. Ladies, space is limited, so register now online at theeconomyofgod.com. Sign up, get more information, details today. That's www.theeconomyofgod.com. We'll see you then.
Now back to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner and coach Tom Maglia.
Welcome back to the program. By the way, if you want to do some additional reading on the concept of contentment, there's a great book I've discovered. It's called The Rare Jewel of Christian Contentment by Jeremiah Burroughs, written in 1648. The Rare Jewel of Christian Contentment by Jeremiah Burroughs. That's a fantastic book that'll supplement the contentment section from my book, and you will really be versed in the concept of contentment. Now, as we go on to application, this is the part of the program where we talk about how to apply this to our normal and everyday life. We talked about the scriptures, so we cited the scriptures. We talked about the economic principles of contentment and what it feels like to be content and discontent. Now let's move forward to application. Now, when you realize that you are suffering, let's say that you lost a child due to death, illness, a child got run over, somebody murdered your child, and you are just in pain, and you're suffering, and that is natural. Or you lost a mate, or someone you cared about. Or it could be a job loss. It could be so many different things. And you're in pain. You're suffering. That doesn't necessarily mean you're discontent. To be content, one needs to realize that they do hurt. Not deny the pain. Recognize pain is real and it's there. To deny that would be lying and dishonest. To say, oh, it doesn't hurt. No, it does hurt. That's why you're suffering. You may miss someone that died or be in pain or embarrassed that you lost a job or did something foolish or something happened to you. You were a victim. It could be many things. To say that doesn't hurt would not be true. Okay? Or we wouldn't have to learn contentment. Why would we have to learn contentment when everything's going so well in life? We learn contentment through trials, pain, suffering, tribulations, problems, that kind of thing. And we're told by the Lord to carry our cross daily. Jesus exclaimed to us to carry and pick up our cross daily. It's okay to speak to God about the problem. That doesn't mean you're discontent. You're supposed to talk to God. He's your heavenly Father, mine too. Let's have a conversation to God about the problem. That doesn't mean you're discontent. Seeking help from the law and government agencies on certain things also does not mean we're discontent either. It's fine. If you have a medical problem and you have medical insurance, use the insurance. If you have a legal situation you need help on, it's fine to go through the government. That's normal. That's our authority. Asking God for deliverance too and being obedient to his choice and decision is also part of being content. Nothing wrong with asking God for deliverance from a situation. That's being obedient to his heart and whatever he decides to answer the prayer on. A no answer by God to deliver me out of a terrible situation. Like, I'll give you an example. One of my former eye surgeries on my retina that I had. That doesn't mean I was being discontent, but I was asking God for deliverance from it. He chose to say no. I went through the surgery. Okay, I'll be content with whatever this turns out to be. And it was painful, but it was a successful eye surgery. God's answer to my prayer was no, but he delivered me. He made a way. And that was my decision to be content with his choice. We need to melt our wills into God's holy will for our lives. That's also part of being content. That's why it's a learned response. We have to learn this. It takes time. It takes a journey. As Christians, it's a learned response because contentment is an extremely difficult anchor or thing to follow and learn in Christianity. It's one of the hardest concepts to learn. After all, who wants to be content when something terrible just happened? But being totally unstable in mind, speech, heart, and being restless all the time is a distraction in our relationship to Christ because of a matter. It's a big distraction. And that shows we're not content. That's how you can feel discontented. You'll know discontentment by those feelings. Again, being completely unstable in mind and the way you talk, inside your heart and soul, always being restless and totally distracted away from Christ because of something happening. Let's say my impending eye surgery years ago. That shows a discontented heart or mind. If that distraction, for example, not getting that promotion I was hoping for, or that job or position or that home or car, so consumes me or you, then we're out of God's will and out of his obedience. We're discontented. Why, you say? Because we've allowed something, false God, to get in the path of our personal relationship with Jesus Christ and choke it off. It chokes it off. And remember Exodus 20, verse 3. You know I love that verse. First commandment, I am the Lord your God. There shall be no false gods before me. You shall have no other gods before me. So we need to be careful that wanting money, wanting a new home, wanting a house, there's nothing wrong with having goals, but if they don't happen, we must not become discontented. We need to be content knowing that we're going to meld our wills and lives into God's purpose, God's will for us. He's our Father. He loves us. He's got a smarter, better, wiser plan than we do. And folks, Christian friends, we must not get ahead of God. Getting ahead of God, listen to me now carefully. Getting ahead of God is a sin. You're probably thinking, what does that mean, getting ahead of God? Well, it means doing something without asking God if it's right in your life, according to his will, as your heavenly father for you. Okay? That could be starting a new business. It could be mortgaging your house to buy five other homes for speculation. It could be all kinds of things. Doing something you want to do or I want to do without praying about it, without seeking wise counsel to see if it's right, that kind of thing. Getting ahead of God. Remember Proverbs 16:25. There's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to destruction. So many people I've counseled over the years said, Tom, I did something without getting advice, and now we're ruined or close to being ruined. What do we do? That's getting ahead of God, doing something that a person wants to do without counsel from their spouse or financial advisors, and of course, the Lord himself. Saul was troubled. Remember Saul in the time of King David? You'll find this in the book of Kings. Saul was troubled. He sought out witches and spiritualists and that kind of thing. He sought them all out for help to his big problems. He didn't wait and pray to God in the right way. He did not obey God. He did not wait on God. He went out and listened to sorcerers and spiritualists and witches, you know, for counsel, which was wrong. And we could do that too. We could go to the local psychic down on the street, the boulevard. That's wrong to do that. If we're corrupt and weak in faith, folks, we're not going to be content. And we may get ahead of God in order for us to buy or purchase our contentment or to make something happen on our own. You know that phrase, make it happen? I've got to make it happen on my own. Well, that's the Proverbs 16:25. That's why a lot of people get in trouble doing that or pursuing the love of money and riches. And 1 Timothy 6 says that leads to sorrow and a lot of grief. And it could also lead to rebellion against God. That is a major problem. It's a sin. And of course, a person that does that has no contentment. So let's not get down that road. By being discontented, we can make many financial misjudgments. I've seen people do that. Look at Job. He lost everything and said, the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Application, advice. Don't get discouraged. These are tests. Learn contentment like doing cardio or lifting weights at the health club, a little at a time. Build up slowly by God's kind hand of being your personal trainer and training you. One can't just go from no or little contentment to contentment in Christian terms all in one day. Paul didn't. He had to learn it. Contentment is freely submitting to God's disposal. Contentment is freely submitting with a trusting heart to God's disposal, knowing that he loves us. He's our heavenly Father. He knows best. That's under God's sovereignty and will and direction. And taking pleasure in and finding good in the contentment that God is teaching us through the circumstance. Okay, let's have the prayer of change. Father God, thank you for these scriptures, these verses, the concept of contentment. Help us to dutifully learn and submit, Lord, to your love and will and direction. Give us the power and strength and faith, Father God, to follow you and do what you want us to do, Lord Jesus. In your precious name, Lord, we love you. Amen. Give me a call for a financial planning consultation. First meeting's free. 800-386-3700. Go to the website, www.theeconomyofgod.com, for seminar signups and to grab the book. Okay, God bless you all. Talk to you soon. Have a great day. We'll catch up with you next Saturday. Bye-bye.
Listening to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner Tom Meglia. Tom's desire is to teach God's people how to be good stewards, coaching them in the biblical principles of investing. If you would like to contact Tom with a financial question or have Tom speak at your church or group, call 800-386-3700. That's 800-386-3700 or online at theeconomyofgod.com. Join us next week as Tom Meglia continues to share his insights to knowing the economy of God.